And welcome back to another episode of Concerns Me Boyla.
Me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the recent surprise. Okay, so recently the Xbox, was a developer direct just ended, so we kind of want to get on that as fast as we can. Perfect timing for the new episode. Just got to say, well, good on Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, it was like about, what, like an hour long?
Five games? Technically five?
Yes, technically five, although...
But really four.
Really four major games, right.
Two of those, I think a lot of people are excited for. The other two are interesting. Like, I'm interested to check those games out.
Yeah, like, I guess the best way to say it is that two of the games that we got really in-depth looks at are from established IP and titles.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two are from, essentially, new IPs, right?
Yeah. So you want to go over the first one?
Yeah, I guess the first one.
The biggest one.
Yeah, I guess technically the biggest surprise was the Metal Gear. although it is
there is a metal in gear involved in it.
Yeah. Ninja Gaiden 4, brand new Ninja Gaiden coming out later this year, I believe.
And I'm not gonna lie, there was a moment where I'm like, has there not been Ninja Gaiden 4? And then I remember that huge, like, gap of time between now and then. That's how long it's been. The Ninja Gaiden 3 was from, like, PS3 360 era, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Man, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Koei Tecmo has always been sort of has their hands in, like, everything. I mean, I think it was a running joke that Ryu Hayabusa was showing up more and more in Dead or Alive games in the time between...
Can we get a new Dead or Alive game?
Maybe.
Yes, I say yes.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Anyways, Ninja Gaiden 4. I mean, it's pulling a DMC4 when you think about it.
It is.
You have a new protagonist. I forgot the name of his.
I believe it was no, because Raiden is. Is it Raiden?
No, I don't think.
Raiden.
It
was. It started with an R.
Yeah, but he's a new protagonist. I mean, Ryu Hayabusa, the original protagonist, is also there as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I sort of make the allusion to Devil May Cry 4, because you had Nero and Dante.
Yeah. Also, to your point of, like, why you wanted to say Metal Gear first, Platinum Games is involved in this.
Yeah, who made Metal Gear Rising, so...
And a bunch of other games, too.
Yeah, you know...
Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Little game.
Yeah.
Somehow I got a third. No, I'm just kidding. I'm around. No diss to the Bayonetta fans out there. Like, they're like, I'm just surprised. Because Platinum Games, they just recently, I wouldn't say they lost Hideo Kamiya, but, like, Kamiya recently, like, left and went back to make Cloverworks with Capcom, and then we're getting, you know, Kami games, and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Kami.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I guess they're okay. They're going to be all right.
Well, I mean, that I feel like they've always... Platinum Games has always been sort of in a situation of being okay. I like, given the amount of games they have done that have been successful, like, obviously, Nier Automata, like, one of the big ones, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I always assumed the Platinum Games was going to be all right in terms of just developing stuff. And, yeah, it is cool to see them work together with Koei Tecmo to make a brand new Ninja Gaiden game, which, I mean, it does look pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's straight up, like, just the visuals alone and, like, the style of it just...
No, yeah, it's a really return to form. And I guess the thing that also come out of it was Ninja Gaiden 2 Black, which is... Do you want to call it a remake or a remaster?
I would say it's a remake, simply because it looks like... Well, I mean, I believe they say they're using Unreal Engine 5 to update a lot of the stuff, so I assume, like, new engine means new, you know, remake to me, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's pretty cool to see that, like, getting a remake, essentially the, like, buffer in, which I believe is out as of the day of this recording.
Yeah, it should be on Game Pass. I think it's also out on Steam. Obviously, if it's through Game Pass, it's gonna, I wouldn't say free, but you know.
Yeah, if you have a Game Pass subscription, you can download the game, right? But yeah, no, it's a nice buffer to get people back into the world of Ninja Gaiden in order to prep them for you know, Ninja Gaiden 4 later this year, which...
And I'm not going to lie, I've never been that into Ninja Gaiden, but I'm very happy for the people who are for this.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, Ninja Gaiden's always been like, it's been like a very old storied franchise, like back to the NES days.
Yeah, it is.
You had Ninja Gaiden, so it is cool to see essentially one of the OGs come back, right?
It is. No, there's only another OG they could bring back.
I mean,
we'll wait one day for you, Banjo.
maybe one day Banjo can come back.
Yeah. They honestly should. It's a group platformer, and you know, just recently a platformer won Game of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, if Xbox, I guess, it's more of finding a developer to make a Banjo game.
Anyone who's really interested in making a Banjo game, I would say. Xbox has kind of been weird for the past few years, anyway. But to the next game that they've announced.
Less of an announce and more like a full deep dive into it. Yes. South of Midnight.
And I have been really interested in this game when it was first announced.
Yeah, made by the same people that did We Have a Few, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just from the concept alone of just being a, you know, playing through this like world inspired like by deep south like folk tales and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and you know, does seem pretty cool, right?
Oh yeah. And I'm just looking at the art. So it's got like a bit of a choppy animation style, like more akin to something like, I would say, Spider-Verse.
I believe they did mention that they did harken back to stop motion animation.
Yes.
I believe during the
that's what it is.
That's what some of the developers mentioned. Like they
mm-hmm.
they like harken back to some of that stuff for
mm-hmm.
to emphasize character motions and stuff.
Yeah, and it's I love it. I love the look. I love the design. I love the art of it. It looks so much fun, just to be in that world. And I'm just so much looking forward to that game. And like the combat looks fun.
Yeah, no, I mean the way they talk about how you'll develop new skills over the course of the game, right? And
mm-hmm.
Just how boss fights will usually handle like different phases. The music will amp up and stuff. It kind of like gave me a bit of vibe of like similar to like DMC5 when it came to like how
we're hitting on the DMC.
I know. I realize that as well. You know, I guess it just DMC's on the mind. But yeah, you know, that's sort of interesting use of music and stuff. That seems pretty cool and interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, just it is kind of cool to see like that sort of like design and like creativity coming out of like, okay, let's try it, because I don't think there's a whole lot of games that delve deep into that sort of region.
No. It's a very much untapped region. Like I've seen a couple games harken to like other like what was it? Maybe I would say, and you could probably refute me on this. Age of Empires, what's that game called? Civilization.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're talking about like seeing that side of the world.
Yeah. Like it's like so fully realized and so fully like supported by like, and it's, you know, depictions of. You know, because I'm immediately thinking of them, like how like I have Montezuma.
Yeah, I guess Civilization definitely does do its research and tries to when it comes to because Civilization is a strategy game where you
mm-hmm.
play as different civilizations around the world, from ancient history to modern day, that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do a good amount of research and stuff of like. Of portraying the various civilizations in sort of accurate ways, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I see what you mean in terms of the team definitely seems to have done its homework a bit, as well as adding their own creativity and
mm-hmm.
influences into the various southern folktale characters that are showing up, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else?
I mean, it's coming out in April.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
That's the thing about it. Like,
I will say that's the recurring theme with a lot of the games that are announced. They're all coming out this year.
And I'm just like, whoa, what? Really? I thought, like, I was expecting more fall, but, like, that's a lot more sooner. But I mean, like Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming out
in fall.
Fall of this year. And then there's this game that's coming out in April, and that's only like 2-3 months away.
It is kind of neat to see that sort of come out.
And even the next,
I feel like, was it? It was definitely announced last year, wasn't it?
No, we saw like a quick gameplay of it last year, and then before that was like the announcement of like, I don't want to call him Voodoo Man, but he's like, he gives that vibe. And then again, it's the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was the one that was there was a character that was like kind of giving you the idea of what this game is gonna be about, or like the region that they're gonna be inspired by. So that's about as much as, like, literally I've only seen two trailers aside from this one, the announcement and that one where homegirl rides the big frog.
I thought it was the catfish.
It was a catfish. Sorry, I don't know why I thought frog. Yeah, but it's coming out a lot sooner than I thought, and it's a game I'm looking forward to. Now, obviously, there's one more game we got to talk about, and that is the Express 33. Is this what it's called?
Expedition 33.
Yes. So I'm like, that was probably my sick and most interested game that they've announced this today, mostly because it's very, very traditional JRPG.
Yeah, definitely, especially considering
turn-based RPG, I should say.
Yeah, especially because if from my understanding, it's a new studio that's been developing the game. I think I remember when it was announced, I thought it was very kind of interesting in terms of just, it has like,
it was during last year's E3, not E3, Games Fest.
Summer Games Fest, I believe so.
It was during the summer.
But yeah, no. Obviously, from I think the gameplay, it does. Yeah, it's turn-based RPG with a little bit of real-time elements to add into some of the flavor. Right?
Yeah, you have to like do like a real-time parry and like dodge mechanic.
Yeah, so you know there is that sort of, you know, changing up of the style of the real-time strategy games, right? I mean, if anything, I believe when I was watching it, I was like more intrigued by like the story and how they were setting it up.
Yeah, you were telling me about that, and I was just because I was interested in the story, but I was kind of like more grasping on the gameplay and how it just gives that vibe of like that classic JRPG, you know, the turn-based RPG stuff, and like the common joke among it is it's French Atlas.
I guess, yeah, if you're into flavor.
I think it's because last year was Atlas's year, because they had a Unicorn.
No, Unicorn Overlord was not an Atlas
game. Was it not?
No, it was not an Atlas game. It was a different studio.
Oh, okay, then what was it? But mainly it was like Persona 3 Reloaded and
Metaphor
ReFantazio. Fun game, I really enjoyed it, even though that blast boss was a pain in my ass.
I have no comment to that. I'm just going to assume that you have mixed feelings about that and move on.
It's a boss gauntlet.
I mean, that definitely sounds like a pain in the ass, yes.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I see what you're saying, that, like, you know, Atlas, you know, had a big year last year in terms of games that came out. And obviously, it was kind of funny to see just a random French studio making a RPG and being like, this looks vaguely similar to Persona.
To be fair, I think it's because, like, I think Atlas, when it comes to their, like, Persona and now even with Metaphor, too, it's got that, like, stylistic vibe to it, which this game has a lot of that.
Yeah, I can see that in terms of, like, the menus during the gameplay. It's like, okay, that looks, that does vaguely remind me of, like, Persona 5 when I played it.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't blame them. But if this is a different kind of game, this is a different kind of universe, and it's hearkening to that turn-based kind of RPG kind of thing. And you were saying earlier about, like, the story, which, well, after you told me, because I'm sorry, I was more interested in the gameplay, but you mentioning the story made me go, like, wait, oh, hold up, that's pretty interesting.
I mean, from what they explained, it was a very, like, sort of like this weird, like, I wouldn't say it's like intergalactic or whatever, but just like some giant like object just appears out of nowhere in like the 19th century France or whatever, that like writes down a number that like has like the people whose age that is that disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this, like, you're in like the middle of this storyline of these expeditions, right? They go out and try to figure out like what's going on, how do we stop this, they would never come back. So you're following mm-hmm. this next expedition, Expedition 33, because the number is 33 in that. I'm assuming, you know, like...
That's the age where they would die.
Yeah, it's kind of like this crazy thing, because it feels like to me, it's like it started from, like, say, what, like 60-something or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's only going to go keep going down and down, and it's like, that's kind of, like, crazy. And I think, you know, the developers definitely talked about how they wanted to, like, not be, like, a story about good versus evil, but more sort of, like, people having to deal with like an existential like threat
mm-hmm.
of this caliber, right?
Like, how do you deal with the fact that you're aging?
Well, I mean, not just aging, but more like,
well, yeah, but like just like the impending doom of the universe, right?
Yeah.
The slow, like, you know, heat death of everything, kind of, and like it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I get that. That makes a lot, because you. It's almost, I wouldn't say Lovecraftian, but kind of in that vein of, like, cosmic horror kind of thing.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah, because it really, they don't, you know, it's like, you really don't know where this thing has come from, but, like, it is just sort of, like, this ominous presence that you can just see in the
horizon.
Yeah,
it's unfeeling, it's uncaring, it just, it is not bothered by the minutia of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the thing about it. I'm very, like I said, I didn't really much pay attention to what they were talking about the story. Granted, I was kind of listening to it on my way home. And, like, so I kind of got bits and pieces of it, but now you gave me, like, the full breakdown, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. That's interesting. And I'm very much looking forward to it. They showed off a lot of, like, sort of the creativity of the world and, like, everything they designed in that game. And then we go, like, yeah, no, this is my kind of game. And again, it's coming out in April.
Yeah, that was the I think that was the most shocking thing to me, because as far as I can remember, that game was announced last year and coming out next, you know, this year.
Yeah.
You know, I,
which makes me wonder what other games have they been working on behind the scenes that we don't know.
Yeah, especially since they mentioned in the in this, you know, presentation that, like, developers mentioned that they've been working on this game for the past 4 years. So, to me, that's sort of just like, okay, that's, you know, what other games could be showing up on, you know, on the radar for Xbox in the next coming months, right?
Can they withstand enough time, though? You know, it's because they've been kind of getting their behind kicked a lot.
Well, I mean,
not unwarranted.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a very, foregone conclusion, I guess, if you're really that into the console war stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know where else to go.
I don't know where else to go with that either. It's just more like we got to wait and see, and hopefully none of this new studio doesn't end up the way of Tango.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I wouldn't...
I hope not!
Yeah, I mean, it probably sucked a lot more for Tango Studios because they've been around for at least a little bit of time, right? They weren't just, like, a random studio that was created and then, you know, almost closed down before, you know, they were brought back. But, yeah, you know, it will be interesting, to see. I do like how they were talking about how they wanted to make all play styles, like, viable. Like, if you wanted to make your characters, like,
right, that's way. The thing. That's the thing that's kind of like freaked me out was like, oh yeah, you can like have different builds, I'm gonna call it a skill tree because that's kind of what it looked like to me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the skill tree of it, and I'm like, oh god, oh god.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of, like, passive skills, and, like, that's a long list.
That's just a passive skill. I'm wondering about everything else.
Right. But, you know, it does look like there's, like, a variety of choice, but I think, you know, it would be, you know, great for a lot of people. Right?
Yeah.
They, you know, maybe have, like, different types of runs, too, they could do as well.
They're,
like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, I made this character, like, a glass cannon. What if I, next run, you know...
Make her a tank.
Yeah, like... What
a tank that can heal.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure if there was a character like that, but, yeah, that would be interesting to do, right? So, you know, that does add, like, I feel like bits of replayability, and I think you would... Yeah, a lot of people would enjoy that, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a lot of cool stuff, and I'm very excited to see how it's gonna play out. They did mention, which one thing that did catch my attention was, they didn't want it to make it so boring. Well, not boring, but make it so frustrating, and like, and they really wanted to make it completely be replayable, especially since you have that huge list. But yeah, no, it's coming out in April. It's very interesting. And now we get to the game that everyone was talking about. And that is Doom Middle Ages.
The Dark Ages.
Dark Ages, sorry.
I mean, I wouldn't blame you for saying that, considering it is a lot of the developer talk was like, oh, the Middle Ages, right?
The Middle Ages, yeah.
Yeah, no, this got announced last year, I believe, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. And everyone's like, oh, new Doom game. And I like the idea that each Doom game is kind of different, and they emphasize it in this, where, well, how would you describe Doom 2016 then?
I do remember how they said it in the developer interviews and stuff, of like, they felt like 2016 Doom, right? Was a lot of running and gunning, and, Doom Eternal added a lot of verticality, so it was like that sort of like.
And this game goes unga bunga.
yeah, I would say, because I believe they mentioned it along the lines of like they want you to be like an armored tank. Like they felt like in previous games you were like this like a fighter jet kind of thing of like just moving around crazy. In this game they really want to emphasize you being like this, like not like. Tank as in, like, slow moving and stuff, which is...
But you can take a lot of damage and dish out just as much.
Yeah, which I think, you know, they emphasize it with, like, the shield. You can do, like, a lot of things with your shield,
you can parry, you can throw it, you can do a lot of stuff with that shield.
Deflect stuff, yeah, like, just, you know, you can do, like, they emphasize a lot of just, like, oh, yeah, now you can do this, you can do that. You pretty much, like, again, a lot of emphasizing just... You play how you want to play the game with the tools you have right here, right?
You're essentially mowing down. And this is why I say Oonga Boonga, because, like, you just go in and just go in ham. Just go in. There's so many times where throughout that trailer, they just kind of just put you in front of a horde of demons, and you're just, like, plowing down. It doesn't help that you have that gun that, like, crushes skulls and shoots them.
Yeah.
And you're just, like, ramming through a whole, like, brigade of demons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, you just... Like, in the past two games, they kind of... this is just, like, a little note that I noticed. There's, like, a little emphasis of, like, whenever, like, they're glowing, you can just go in and go, like, you know,
yeah,
the next
like
stuff.
Yeah, their glory kill, that they're called,
yeah,
right?
Here, they don't do that.
Yeah.
You just knock them away.
Yeah, I believe they mentioned something along the lines of now it's, like, depending on what, like, attack you use, you get a different thing, or, like, the angle is what I think they were talking about. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like a do your own sort of glory kill thing, which definitely seems interesting.
Mm-hmm. But the way that it was presented, it seemed more like you're just, again, just mowing down. Like, literally, I was talking to Daniel about it. It's like, they're living up to the rip and tear part of the game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I do like the, I did find it interesting, because I'm like, so, is the Doom Slayer being sent to actual, like, medieval times? It doesn't seem like that. It seems like very much, like, what I understand...
It's a prequel.
It is a prequel to the other two Doom games so far, and I believe they mentioned that, like, the ending of the game will lead directly into Doom 2016. I believe.
Yeah, where you're locked up and you're found out by that machine dude.
Yeah. So it does. You know, point is like it's not, it's more like a kind of a futuristic middle age.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a character that I'm like, hey, wait, weren't you, yeah, he was in the last Doom game,
mm-hmm.
you know, the old guy.
Yeah.
He was there, but he looks younger now.
Mm-hmm.
No gray hair.
Yeah, that's how prequels work, generally.
Yeah. Look at Yoda, no gray hair.
I mean, he's always been old, so.
He's always been old, but I'm not going into Yoda's species anymore.
But yeah, no, point is that there's like a lot of cool, fun gameplay stuff that was shown off. I mean, they even showed you piloting the mech thing.
That looked like fun to me.
Yeah, like straight up, it does look like you're just a giant version of the Doom Slayer, just beating giant demons and stuff. You even get to fly this like cybernetic dragon or whatever they called it.
Now I'm wondering how much of that is there, or that's just like a cutscene kind of thing. Because I'm like. Was there a moment in Doom Eternal where you got to ride a dragon?
I don't recall.
I have to double check on that.
But I will say that at least from what I understood, it's like they aren't like the developers mentioned that these aren't like just like one time only sequences. Like you'll be able to like use them more often in the game, I believe. Like they're not just gonna be like limited to like one area of the game and that's it.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun just to mow down with my big dragon.
I mean, I think in terms of, like, I don't think... Because they didn't say this game was open world. I mean, they talked about...
It would feel very weird if Doom went open world.
Yeah, and I don't think they're mentioning that,
It is very much a sandbox game. It's one of those things where, like, as much as I liked Halo Infinite, going open world made sense. But it was so much open space that you kind of just got lost and bored. You know? But yeah, no, the thing about it is that they emphasize more of a story this time.
Yeah, which I do find interesting, because I feel like the story of both Doom and Doom Eternal were very minimalistic of, like, not a whole lot of, like, generic cutscene stuff. It's like you... Play, like, you have the story through the game, and I think you have, like, extra bits you can look through.
2016 had less story. Eternal had a bit of more story. I think this is going to have the most out of all of them.
Yeah, no, especially considering how a lot of the cutscenes, because I think they even mentioned it, like, they're billing this as, like, a big summer blockbuster type of adventure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you got... Good guys, bad guys, you know, the whole shtick, right?
Yeah.
And you're just the Doom Slayer going around just wrecking shop.
And I'm excited for that. And it's coming out May 15th.
Yeah, that one I think is the real... out of all the announcements of, like, release dates, that one is the one where I'm kind of like, wow, that's really... That's
earlier than... But then again, when was 2016, Doom?
As, you know, and I think...
Eternal, sorry. Answer my own question.
I was going to say, I feel like all the Doom games so far were released in, like May or June, I think. I could be wrong on that, but, like, a part of me wants to say that.
So the last... Doom Eternal came out in 2020.
Ah, okay. 5 years, basically, at this
point. Which is a very good development cycle.
Well, yeah, I would say that.
Mm-hmm.
The Doom team definitely put, 5 years. That works, especially considering like the new style and like the various new mechanics and stuff. That lines up. But yeah, no. That's like at least a 4 to 5 year development cycle for each game. Not bad.
I think that's about all. I recommend people just check it out because they're really good. The thing I liked about these developer directs is that it's no fluff. It's just directors talking, the guys working on the games talking about the games that they're working on, and no fluff.
Yeah, it's straight to the point, right?
Straight to the point. This is what it is. This is how it's played. Also, the fact that this developer's direct was very focused on gameplay.
Well, yeah, I do appreciate that, because I think I've always mentioned when it comes to, you know, a lot of these, we're announcing a bunch of games, right? Like, here's what's coming up next, or whatever.
It's always been cutscenes.
Yeah, I've always had a gripe of, like, it's just, like, usually it's just a CG trailer that doesn't show any gameplay. and it's like coming out in X amount of years, and I'm just like, why do we?
The
like, I'm not very hyped. I mean, it's kind of cool, but like I want to see gameplay.
The
gameplay,
Insomniac curse.
Yeah, like gameplay is what drives a lot of stuff for me, in my opinion. Like that's how that's why you want to play the game. You want to play the game because it's fun. And if I don't see what the game is like, I'm less excited for it. Like I'll still be interested of like, okay, that's a neat concept. What's the game like, right?
What's the game like? Yeah. Can I? It's a game that I can see myself playing.
Yes.
And like honestly, all these games are games I can see myself playing.
Yeah, and I appreciate the variety of the games too. When you think about it, you have your FPS with Doom. You have a turn-based RPG with Expedition 33. You have your just regular like RPG in South by Midnight, right?
Mm-hmm. And then you have the hack and slash.
Your hack and slash crazy Japanese game with Ninja Gaiden.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's I think that's at the end of the day, I think that you everyone gets something out of this direct, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, can we have more KI?
I
will always like the prayer circle when the time comes. One day it'll work.
You gotta start praying to different gods at this point, man.
No. Yeah, no. So that's about like most of the stuff that we can really talk about, because there's only just like five technically, but four games really. And I kind of like how I'm starting to feel like the developer directs are more of like these games are coming out this year,
because
like when the Indiana Jones game, the first developer direct was the year it came out, wasn't it?
I don't recall. Maybe
I feel like it was. I need to start paying attention to how they do this. But yeah, no. Very excited for some of these games. Very much looking forward to them. Clearly, they're doing a good job of getting their audience. They're all coming out this year, which is a shocker to most people, myself included. And yeah, no, there's not much I can say aside from like. Really want to check these games and want to get out my gaming order of hands on them.
Yeah, I think all of them are very interesting. You know, they all have their own merits, and I do. I guess out of all of them, I guess yeah, Doom, Dark Ages, I probably is the most interesting, or like I'm the most excited for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say most interesting because I think Expedition 33 is probably the most interesting in terms of like story wise.
I would say like the. With Song of Midnight.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my more interesting ones because of the art direction of that one. Like, I can see that winning art direction of the year. Because it's so unique and so cool. And the animation being, like, that, like you said, stop motion makes me just go, like, oh man, I really like the way they
do.
There's a lot of thoughts going into that game. And Ninja Gaiden's back! Crazy,
yeah.
Man, that's crazy. But that's about it. All we can say for this episode. Be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you're on Instagram, we're most active. You'll find a link to all the content sites we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And be sure to follow us on YouTube for the audio listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And a Patreon for any form of support. Anyways, yeah. That's been the direct. Hopefully, you know, this turns out well for them.
I mean, I will mention that I think at least three or four of these, three out of the four of these games, I believe, were also going to be on PlayStation. So.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, like, at the end of the day, they'll bounce back. As much as people want that exclusivity, they'll be fine. But anyways, it's me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
Guess have a good one. Peace.